Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from St. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, the third chapter. The Holy Apostle writes, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate in us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We hear that some of you are idlers, that is, loafers, slackers. We command you that you work and earn your living. When the Holy Apostle sends you a letter with words like that, it might make you squirm a little bit. But this is what he does. It's a text for the new man, but it's nothing than law. You will find no gospel in it. It's a command. It will curb your bad behavior. It will accuse you. And it will also help you to learn how to live and to walk in this Christian faith. Upon hearing St. Paul's words, we could just despair and throw up our hands and say, "I fail. Good thing I have forgiveness." And then just continue merrily on our way, having no concern for good works or their place in our life. And with that, we say with the Holy Apostle, "May it never be so among us." We could just assume that God would bring forth good works out of us spontaneously, without any concern or effort or discipline on our part. You know, just like an apple tree bears perfectly good, beautiful, shiny apples right off its branches. God will do it. I don't have anything to do with it. I don't have to pay attention to it. And again, we say there, nope. Being well catechized, you know that the new obedience of the Christian cannot be drawn into the doctrine of justification and salvation. We all know that. We're very careful about that. Our ears tingle when we hear these things. But good works are done so that we don't fall away from our calling by lapsing into sin. But that isn't to say that our good works preserve us in our salvation. They are simply the proper exercise of faith. They are an indicator of the salvation that is within us. So we need this law that St. Paul gives us today, because we are not perfectly renewed. We are not totally free from our sins. The old Adam clings strongly to us in our nature and powers. And the Spirit here employs the Word of God, His law, to instruct us and to teach us His will. So St. Paul here warns the church against idleness. It isn't the only time he does it, though. He wrote Timothy that the young widows tended toward idleness, gossip, and busybodiness. He mentioned idleness in his first letter to the Thessalonians, though he comes down on it a little harder here in the second. Idleness is a thing among sinners, both now and then. And it's kind of amazing that he doesn't give suggestions or guidelines here, does he? He commands them. There is no option. And he commands them in the name of the Lord Jesus. You think you can get away from that? What's good for those saints back then is also good for us to hear. In other words, don't hang around with slackers. But Paul here is not saying, be a workaholic. He says, imitate us. We worked with our own hands and supported ourselves. Do the same. Work is good. Get at it. And he says, this is the tradition of the church, because idleness was all around them. Is idleness a problem in our time? We can all think of ways that it has gotten a hold on us. We are beset by time suckers that give the illusion of being busy, but in fact, we're not doing a thing. You can easily name them. You carry them in your pocket, in your purse, your phone, your computer, your TV, and yes, even books. They can do the same thing. But those things are not the real problem. It's easy to say that the phone is the problem. It's easy to say that the TV is the problem. But it's this thing, the heart, that is the problem. We love cold, unfeeling things, and we expect them to warm us. The Israelites liked gold and silver things. We like plastic, electronic things. And we keep going back to them, expecting them to comfort us and give us good things. They turn into idols, and these idols lead us into idleness. Paul very strongly commanded the Thessalonians to keep away from idleness. He doesn't urge it. He commanded it. In his command are echoes of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk, stand, or sit in the way of sinners. Idleness leads to wickedness and sin. As your great grandma said, idle hands are the workshop of the devil. She wasn't crazy. Paul commands the congregation to be at work and to help each other with that. And at the very end, he says, don't grow weary in doing good. Your work results in good things for other people. The psalmist likens it to that those who delight in the law of the Lord are like a tree that yields its fruit in season. Raising good fruit takes a lot of work. Apple tree farmers know that trees don't bring forth good fruit spontaneously. The tree needs discipline. It needs regular pruning. It needs spray to keep pests off and to stop blight. It needs fertilizing. It needs water. Sure, the tree will bring forth some fruit like a wild apple tree will, but it's not usually that good. To make it good takes the hard work of the farmer. That's a lot of law. The law is good, though. Paul thought it good for the Thessalonians to hear it and thus deal with the things going on in their midst. It's good also for us to take a good look at ourselves and root out these things in our midst also. If you find idleness in yourself, repent. The Lord Jesus has given us a guide in these matters. But it would be unsatisfying to leave things here, though. And lest this turn into a TED talk on productivity, we need to put this teaching of idleness into perspective. Where is Jesus and his gospel here? He's not mentioned at all. There's no mention of his blood or his crucifixion or his resurrection or his ascension into heaven. He's a little bit hard to find. But by putting the teaching of idleness into the larger picture of the Holy Scriptures, Jesus is easily found. St. Paul here is teaching the words of Jesus to the body of Christ, his church. These are things that Jesus wants us to know and to take to heart. They are things that the Holy Spirit is constantly teaching us. And so these are part of the words of eternal life. They are words for those who are on the narrow way. And so, being the words of Jesus, then we know they are holy and good. And we know that before he gives us his ways to live, he first bestows on us his forgiveness. Jesus has forgiveness even for poor sinners who wear out and sit down and can't get themselves up again. His death and his resurrection give life and rest to the weary. Do you not remember what he said? Come to me who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This word he has planted in the soil of your heart. He is the one who makes that soil good and fruitful, and he has planted you by the rivers, the water of life, to feed and nourish you. And so we do grow. We begin to bear fruit for the benefit of our neighbor and to glorify our good and gracious God for the work he does in us. And the Spirit, by this word and the trials of life, prunes us and feeds us so that the fruit we bear increases and is beneficial. Beneficial in the church, beneficial in the world. And so, being rested by his living waters, we engage our bodies and minds in work on the behalf of our neighbor. Work is a good fruit. It's the opposite of idleness. The Lord gives us examples of this today to encourage and cheer us. We remember Dorcas and Phoebe and Lydia today. They were cheerfully engaged in prayer and service to the church and their neighbor. Kindness just flowed off of their hands and their lips. When Dorcas died, we remember how the church mourned her, that the widows gathered around saying, "Look at all the things she sowed." And how Peter came to her in Joppa. And through Peter, Jesus restored her life to the church for a while. And I like to think she rather woke up, looked around, said, "Girls, there's sowing to be done." And they got at it again. And so, brethren, let us consider the words of the Holy Apostle and take them to heart. We pray that God would send his Spirit to strengthen our hands and cheer our hearts, that we may be fruitful branches in the vineyard of his kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.